Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside my broadcast partner, Sean Boyd. And it is hot all up and down the West Coast once again here in Tri-Cities, Washington, as well as Sacramento, California. Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, we have to start off the show every week. And, man, it is a warm one. A little bit breezy down here, but it's cooled off slightly down to about the mid-90s. But all in all, it's still a heat gorger.
So the air conditioning is working in the 916, while the 509 is triple digits this week.
Yeah, man. It's amazing. So when spring rolls around, of course, it gets very hot down here. But in eastern Washington, I mean, like I've said before, there it's very similar to Northern California. And you guys get the triple digits just as much as we do. But, man, hang in there.
We'll begin the show with some breaking news out of Seattle, Washington, Safeco Field. Mariners manager Eric Wedge had to be helped off the field during batting practice, taken to a local Seattle area hospital with dizzy spells.
Yeah, so, you know, and of course, the eastern part of the country, the Midwest as well, is starting to get a lot of that heat as well. And so hopefully the manager coach is taking care of himself. It sounds like a little bit of dehydration, but you know, let's hope that it's that. You know, take a little bit of water and a little bit of rest, and he'll be okay.
Yeah, definitely hope it's nothing serious for Mariners manager Eric Wedge. And tonight against Cleveland, bench coach Robbie Thompson will run the ship.
Yeah, so, you know, the Mariners have been doing very well. One of the hottest teams in the major league since the All-Star break and just before the All-Star break. So they have a lot of momentum going. And, you know, I believe that coach that comes in to replace him will definitely do a good job. I believe the Mariners have enough momentum going here to keep things running.
Yeah, they've definitely done something to find their offensive mojo as they're leading a lot of categories in the last 30 days in the majors, and things are looking up a little bit in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, and of course the bats are waking up, and you know, the Houston Astros are a good tonic for what ails you. And as I speak, Houston's up 3-0 on the Oakland A's right now in the sixth.
Ouch.
So, but yeah, you know, the Mariners' bats are definitely waking up. And, of course, they're getting strong pitching by Hasegawa and, of course, King Felix.
The AL West, very tight, top to bottom, especially the first three when you've got the A's, the Rangers, and then you've got the Angels, who the A's just left Anaheim after the weekend series.
Yeah, and so you look at where Anaheim is right now. They're when you say tight, I kind of wonder what that means. You have the Angels that are 9 games out, the Mariners 11 from the Oakland A's. So there's still quite a bit of a lead for the Oakland A's. Gives them some chance, some room for errors, but of course they have to make sure that they are, meaning the Oakland A's, they have to make sure that, you know, they right the ship here.
Over the weekend, a big golf tournament, the British Open, and lefty Phil Mickelson wins his first British Open, shooting a 66 on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, what makes this a miraculous feat for Phil Mickelson was he came into the tournament. I don't think that he was that into playing in the British Open. I mean, it's a well-known fact that Phil doesn't like going over to Scotland or to the British Open because he hasn't had great success in the past. And the first round, it was, you know, basically status quo. He didn't do well. And, you know, he started complaining about a bunch of things, like the greens and how it wasn't upkept and this, that, and the other, which was basically a whole bunch of excuses. I would love to ask Phil right now what he thinks about the greens after he shot a 66 on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely, and it's pretty amazing how the tide can swing, the pendulum can swing very quickly, not doing so well the first couple days, and then something happened, everything clicked, and he is now the British Open champion.
Yeah, I think what Phil needs, and he accredits his coach to a lot of things. Of course, after the first round, he sat down with his coach and his caddy to try to figure out what it would take to have better rounds. And that's all it took, Sean. That's all it took was for him to focus. Phil's biggest problem is that Phil doesn't focus. And obviously, when he does focus, you know, he can shoot rounds like 66. So before he goes into the media and starts to complain about, you know, greens and this, that, and the other, Phil needs to lock in. Okay, he has five, you know, he's second to Tiger since 2004 in majors one. And he can do a lot better if he would just continue to focus. Sometimes Phil wins, sometimes Phil doesn't make the cut. And so that's what makes him that up-and-down type of golfer, which he really doesn't get the respect that he should. But when he's on his game, I think that there's nobody that could beat him.
How do you think it affects golfers mentally when they get second, third, fourth place, and they only lost by one, two, three, four strokes over the 4 days? How many times can you think of a missed putt, a bad chip, a bad drive, and those cost you a possible championship?
Well, I tell you what, these guys are competitors just like any other sport, and they want to win. But as I've mentioned before, golf is probably the best-kept secret. And if I would have known then what I know now, meaning back in high school, if I'd have known then what I know now, definitely I would have taken up golf. Why? It's a, you know, it's one of those sports that once you become good at it, you know, and that's the key. Once you become good at it, it becomes, you know, something of a tonic that ails you. I don't think these guys are really upset as far as finishing second and third. Have you taken a look at the money and the purses that they walk away with when they just make the cut? I mean, my goodness, you can make an honest living by just making the cut. And so when you're finishing second, third, or fourth, I don't think they're griping too much.
The only thing hurt might be a little bit of competitive pride and competitive edge, but they're definitely doing just fine in their bank account.
Yeah, you take a look at some of the companies and the corporations that are sponsoring these events, and that tells you enough right then and there.
We are approaching the end of July, and that means a turn of the page. Football is underway. Training camps have started in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, always the first to start over the weekend. Football is on the horizon.
Yes, so Tony Romo is and the gang are down in Oxnard, California. For whatever reason, I don't know why they're in Oxford, Sean. Maybe you can explain to me why they go to California every time for their training camp. But the Dallas Cowboys, again, beginning the season and looking to have a better season. It sounds like Tony Romo has focused and concentrated. He did not participate in the Tahoe Classic, which is a golf tournament that's up in Northern California. He didn't participate that in the past weekend to focus on football. So it sounds like, you know, that aspect of Tony Romo has turned the corner. And so let's see if the Dallas Cowboys can have a better season this year.
I find it interesting that Jerry Jones came out and fully supported his head coach, and he hasn't done a lot in terms of playoff wins, and Jason Garrett hasn't gotten them to the promised land of football, but Jerry Jones is behind his coach, and he's backing him 100%.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that I think is just a facade that you'll see on the surface. Of course, he's going to back his head coach in front of the media. But you have Bill Callahan, who's the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. He is there for a reason. And for those of us in Northern California, we are definitely familiar with Bill Callahan, the last coach to lead the Oakland Raiders, my beloved Oakland Raiders, to the Super Bowl in 2002. So he does have a track record. And so, you know, with that being said, I think that, you know, that he should be looking over his shoulder, meaning Jason Garrett, as far as how he leads this team.
A lot of football in the months ahead, and right now we've got baseball on the brain as well. And let's go out to Seattle, Safeco Field to be exact, as we welcome in big-time guest number one, public address announcer Nick Beckman, joining us from Safeco, and freelance television production worker. Nick, how's it going tonight?
It's great. It's great. Another night at the ballpark.
Yes, and so hey Nick, welcome to the show. Have you heard anything about the manager the Mariners how's his health doing right now?
Eric, he had a little dizzy spell during batting practice, but they took some tests here and did some things here in the ballpark, and he checked out okay. But just as a precautionary measure, that I was told, well, I wasn't told, but we were told at Root Sports that he was going to be taken to the hospital for some further observation just to make sure everything's all good. So he won't be in the park tonight, but I'm sure he'll be watching on TV.
For those of you just tuning in earlier in the show, I apologize for this. I thought that the Mariners were playing in Cleveland. It's actually at Safeco Field, where it's a comfortable 75 degrees. But yeah, so we're definitely hoping that Eric has a speedy recovery here. You're getting a chance to Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, yeah, it sounded like it was just one of those a quick little episode, just a little dizziness, and so they just, from a precautionary standpoint, they're going to take him out of the lineup tonight. So,
well, that sounds good.
He should be back tomorrow and good to go.
Yeah, that's always a good sign there. So you're getting a chance to cover the Mariners, and man, what a turn of events that's been going on here over the past few weeks with Seattle. Of course, the bats have woken up, and they have strong pitching. Tell us, what's the vibe? I mean, is this something of a fool's gold, or is this a consistency that we should expect here for the remainder of the season?
I think it's one of those things that people are excited for this Mariners team. I mean, they had a rough get go and getting out of the blocks and dropped a few games. I mean, this Cleveland team, when they were in Cleveland in May, they had three walk off out of four wins. So I mean, the Mariners took them to extra innings three nights. So they they're looking to get back on a little bit of a revenge, I think, tonight. And I think this is a different Mariners team than it was in April. I mean, this team with Franklin doing what he's doing and Brad Miller just getting the AL Player of the Week last week, I mean, that was the first time that's happened since King Griffey Jr. So, I mean, just as a milestone or a marker, that's a pretty good stat to throw up there, is that you got a rookie that made AL Player of the Week. So, you know, I think that the signs are all pointing positive, and Aaron Harang, he keeps up his rhythm. His last seven starts, he's been a win, a loss, a win, a loss, a win, and then a loss. And so he's coming off a loss right now. And so that, with that pattern, we should get another win tonight and make it seven in a row for the Mariners. I mean, yeah, and that would be, you know, they're still under 500. And, you know, there's still, 65, 66 games left in the season for them. So there's a lot of baseball still to be played, and they've got an opportunity to gain some momentum coming out of this All-Star break.
Yeah, most definitely.
Nice with getting the bats going right away in Houston for 3 days down there. So,
yes, and so tell me, so tonight's game, you know, with the Mariners picking up the momentum that they have, what does the crowd look like? I know that sometimes Seattle fans, it takes them a little bit after you've been scorned for a while. Is the crowd showing up tonight?
Well, you know, they're probably going to get somewhere close to 15 or 20,000, and that's a nice Monday night crowd for a sunny night. The beer garden is a great place to watch a baseball game at Safeco. As I'm watching the game on a monitor right here, there's one out and one run homer Durang just gave up there. So Mariners are going to start their half of the inning down already. But you know, it's Cleveland, and they're doing good in the Central. So they're not going to give it to the Mariners. They got to come out and earn it. And these young bats we got, we'll see how they respond.
That's the voice of Nick Beckman joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, a voice many of you in the Pacific Northwest might have heard previously, as Nick does public address all over the Puget Sound region, from a boxing ring announcer to MMA fights, public address at Seattle University men's basketball games at Key Arena. Nick, how did you get involved with that, and when did you figure out that that was something that was a passion for you?
Well, it was right around the 2000 when Puyallup High School actually, their announcer, who was a teacher, went on an exchange to China, and my wife, who worked at the high school, said, "Hey, you'd be pretty good at this. You should go down and do this. They need somebody to call basketball games." And I said, well, you know, I've never done it, but sure, I can go down and help out. And lo and behold, it was something that that felt good. I mean, I have a passion for basketball, so it's one of my it is my favorite sport. And being able to go to the games and sit, have a seat saved for me at center court was pretty cool, I thought. So I figured, you know, if I can go down and talk about it and let people know what's going on the floor, it just turned into something that was that I enjoyed doing, that God had given me a gift to do. And so I went ahead and just kept pursuing it, basically getting on the mic at every opportunity I could, from girls basketball to charity events to whatever. If somebody had a game that needed to be called, I pretty much put my name in the hat. And lo and behold, here I'm almost 15 years later, and I'm still doing it and really enjoy the opportunity to be calling it the Key Arena for CLU. I mean, the men's basketball there is turning around, and Cameron Dollar's starting to put it together. And Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. I just want to make sure that I don't have any duties here for the sports desk, because actually I'm working right now. So, but we just got done with our pregame show with Angie Mentink on the Ford sports desk, and now I'm here with you guys. And so we'll wait for an update. But and Mariners are still trying to get on the top of this inning, and two outs and one and nobody on, but one run. So, the play-by-play is something that I've done a little bit of basketball in, but the public address is really what I've done most of my events, and the live event announcing is something I really enjoy.
Now, Nick, if you do have to run, just go ahead and let us know, and we'll let you go. We understand you are working for Root Sports Northwest tonight.
It's actually good timing. We usually come back you come back somewhere in the third or fourth inning. So when Angie, she's done all of her work for the pregame show. So now it's about getting a feel for it. And Harang just hit a batter. So those of you who don't have the Mariners game on, and while you're listening to the double cross here, or the double express here, we've got a little baseball talk and a little basketball talk.
That's right. You got it here first.
Now, Nick, with all the events you've handled, the microphone for public address, what has been the pinnacle for you? What have you enjoyed the most? I'm guessing I know the answer, but I'll let you speak on that.
Well, yeah, you know, it just happened last month was actually the pinnacle, which I guess is kind of appropriate, as that towards the as you progress, you get to do more and more things. And I actually got the call to be the public address announcer for the U.S. men's soccer team versus Panama in the World Cup qualifier back on June 11th over at CenturyLink. 40,000 people and a great crowd for a soccer game. And with the U.S. winning, Eddie Johnson playing and Brad Evans playing from the Sounders on that team. And it was a thrill to be able to be part of that event. I mean, it's only the second time a World Cup qualifier has been played in Seattle, and the last one was 36 years ago. So it was a privilege and an honor to be asked to do that game, and it was great that it worked out for me. You know, that anytime you can do an event at that level with that much hoopla around it, I mean, I'm still smiling every time I think about that one.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Nick Beckman, play-by-play and public address extraordinaire, doing some work up in Seattle. Man, so tell me about soccer. That you had mentioned earlier that, you know, you basically were taking any gig that you possibly could. But how was calling a soccer game?
Oh, you know, it's great. You know, the thing is about public address is I'm not doing play-by-play. I mean, I'm not Kevin Calabro. I'm not Casey Keller and Ross Fletcher. I'm the voice that for people who aren't really familiar with what a public address announcer does. Most people, when they think about somebody being on the mic, they think play-by-play. They think the guys that you're telling you what's going on when you're watching a broadcast on TV or on the radio. But I'm the voice in the arena. I'm the voice in the gym that I'm just the guy who's there to make noise and let people know what's going on, basically. So soccer was great. I mean, the bulk of the work is all done in the morning, before the game. It's all done before the game starts, because soccer is 45 minutes of running clock in each half, and so there's not a whole lot of talk over the gameplay. But you know, overall, I ended up having 97 pages of things to read. You know, and wow. That's in the course of an hour and a half. So there was a lot more stuff when you get up to that professional level. But then again, I have a stage manager, I have a director, I have a producer, I have an assistant that actually sits there and makes sure that I'm getting the right thing to read, and I'm being handed the right stuff, and someone telling me when to read. So, you know, at that level, there's a lot of helpers. Where, conversely, for most of the stuff I do, I'm the public address announcer, the game day operations coordinator, the DJ. When you get to these high school events, then nobody really knows what's going on, and they're not really familiar with how things go. Sometimes my experience as far as being in television production helps to smooth out that whole process, and I can just let people know this is how we're going to do this and this is how it's going to go. And so I can bring a little level of broadcast professionalism to an event that may not normally have that kind of a feel for it. I mean, this last year I was the announcer for Puyallup High School's boys and girls basketball, which I've been doing for a little over 10 years now. And then I also called Rainier Beach, which was a real fun, knowing that they were preseason ranked 7th in the nation for a high school basketball team was great. But then I found out they didn't have an announcer. So one of their assistant coaches asked me if I wouldn't mind coming up and calling their games. And it was a lot of fun calling those that level of basketball. I mean, you get a lot of talented kids at Rainier Beach, as everybody's familiar with Jamal sure. Crawford and Nate Robinson, and the list goes on and on. And as I'm sitting here down by the Diamond Club, and the one and only Wally Walker walking into the Diamond Club here tonight at Safeco Field. Always nice to see Wally around. Just makes my heart beat a little faster just thinking about Sonics basketball, seeing Wally.
Yeah, well, man, for those of us that go back that far, Wally Walker on the 1978 Seattle Supersonic World Championship team. You know, man, that's awesome. I'm sure he looks great, and he looks like he could still play.
Yeah.
You know, you had mentioned a couple of things, Nick, about just the preparation of being a PA announcer. Of course, myself, that's what I do. I do PA announcing for the local high schools, and trying to find. It seems like you're just trying to find work. You know, even though there's a lot of work out there. And it's just by chance. I mean, you just happen to be in an area and somebody says, hey, we don't have a PA announcer, and could you do it? And, you know, it just putting in that extra effort, putting in that 100%, if you will. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you're like me to where, you know, if you're going to do something like this, you're going to make it a first class. You know, it's going to be top notch all the way. And once you do that, I mean, you put yourself in the position like you are to where you're doing professional soccer and professional basketball and NCAA, and that's a great testament to you. Do you have any words of encouragement for me who's actually, you know, in your situation trying to get to that level?
Oh, certainly. You know, the biggest thing is just be willing to do stuff. I mean, when you're working on your delivery and you're working on making those connections, you never know who's in the building. You never know who's coming to watch a game. And my feeling is from that standpoint, I want to call every game like it's a playoff or a championship game. I don't care if it's a ninth grade girls, their only ninth grade girls night game that they're playing. You know, I've called a bunch of junior high stuff. And, you know, the thing is, though, that there's people in the crowd that you don't know who are there. You don't know who they're connected to. You don't know that they might not be, they might be an AAU coach. I mean, this was the first year that I didn't get to do the Rose City Showcase down in Portland that I do every June, but this year the timing didn't work out for me, and that's the other thing, is you have to be able to pick and choose what's going to be best for you and where you can best, where your talents best fit. You know, it's one of those things that some people's delivery might be a little too much, or it might be not quite enough for the venue that is there. And I try to just temper my delivery to the event that's going on. You know, I've been blessed to be part of the state tournament crew for the WIAA for the last 8 or 9 years. And I've called three or four, something like that. I've called the championship games, which are just great at the Tacoma Dome. And it's a lot of fun. But, you know, it took me 3 years of finding out who the guy was that hired the public address announcers and walking up to him and saying, hey, I'm a public address announcer. How do I get on your crew? How can I call a game? And for the first 2 years, I basically was just told, yeah, we have enough people. We don't need any help. Thanks very much. And I said, well, that's great. I'm here watching basketball anyway. So then the next year, I told them, hey, I'm here. You know, if you have any holes or if you need some help, I'd be more than happy to call some games for you. And lo and behold, somebody didn't show up for the first game. And I ended up calling 5 games that day because 2 people didn't show up that first day for them. And that opportunity, I mean, if that was the persistence, I could have just said, oh, you know, he's told me no the last 2 years. But I went ahead and followed up and just said, hey, I'm here again this year because that's one of my favorite days of the year. It used to be that Wednesday of the state tournament basketball when 16 teams showed up and everybody thought they could win the state championship. It's just such a fun basketball day. And lo and behold, I've been doing it since 2006 now. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's one of those things that I basically do for the parking pass and the credential to get in. and that's the thing, as you're well aware, public address, you're probably not going to get rich doing it until you turn into a Michael Buffer or Bruce Buffer or Jimmy Lennon Jr. I mean, those guys who have been doing it for 20, 30 years and have made a name for themselves on a grand scale is the, you know, there's not a lot of guys who can make their living doing it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I do it for the love, and, you know, you have to have a strong passion to do it, to actually want to paint a picture, if you will, for everybody who's at the game. And so, you know, I'm still, you know, when the Sonics get their team back, you know, goodness, I would love to have a shot at that. You know, of course, I would battle you, but hey.
that's one of the beauties of public address is that it's a subjective thing. I mean, you can go and do your thing and think you had a great night, and you probably did have a great night. But you're going to ask 10 people their opinion, you're going to get 10 different opinions.
Exactly.
I mean, I've come to realize that if I ask 10 people about the public address announcer, probably 8 of them didn't hear me. And then 2 of them, then the other 2 have different opinions. One liked me, one didn't. You know, I realized a long time ago that there's not one ticket ever sold when I'm on the mic because I'm on the mic.
Right.
They're coming to watch an event. They're not coming to listen to me. I'm there to help make their evening better and more fun. But the fact of the matter, my wife doesn't come and my mom doesn't come. So knowing that there's not even 2 tickets sold in that arena tonight because I'm on the mic, starts you out with a level of humility that you can say, okay, you know, I'm just here to help. I mean, my analogy for public address or being a good public address announcer is being that spice in your stew. There's a lot of pieces and there's a lot of stuff that goes into a good stew. Lots of vegetables, all those good fixings. And you can be familiar with it and it can be your best home cooked meal that you have and you're comfortable with it. It's good. But then when you walk out that night, you're thinking, something tasted better tonight. And I want it to be, I like being that afterthought. I like being that extra little spice where people walk around, hey, that public address guy was pretty good. You know, but I don't want people to be worrying about me talking or what I'm saying. You know, as long as you're pronouncing the kids' names right or the players' names right and you're correct in what you're saying, you're waiting for the officials to make their call and just doing your job in a professional manner, then sorry about that, I got a little work going on here at Safeco. You know, the big thing is trying, although you are, and it's easy because you're the only one in the gym with a microphone, it's easy to become the center of attention. My goal is to not have people even recognize me. It's like a good referee. You know, they're out there doing their job, and they're blowing the whistle and calling a great game, and most of the time people don't even recognize the referees are there. And that they're, and I know from my referee friends, when they have nights like that, that's when they're having a good game. Is when people don't even think about the referees. They are just out there doing their job. And I like to think that that's where my best games come in, is when people don't even really notice me, but they notice they're having a better time tonight.
That's the voice of public address announcer Nick Beckman live from Safeco Field as he works for Root Sports Television Production. Mariners taking on the Cleveland Indians. Nick, definitely appreciate your time tonight. We got to let you run, get back to work. Say hi to Angie and the crew for us. Definitely say hi to Chris Taylor, and want to looking forward to working with you here soon with the football season coming up.
That's great, man. Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you.
Hey, all right. All right, Nick.
Have a great evening, guys.
All right.
Talk to you later, Nick. Thanks so much for your time. Nick Beckman, public address announcer and freelance television production. Goodness, lots of good words of wisdom for public address in the TV sports world.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea, Sean, that me and Nick could have talked all night, man, and shared some great ideas, and it is. It's a tough business, you know, as far as the public address announcing is concerned. And again, what Nick was saying is that if that's something that you like to do, it has to be a passion. It can't be something that you're looking to make a lot of money off of, and you have to love it. And that's something that I know Nick does and myself. And so, man, it was great. So when we come back from the break, we will have guest number two, and that is Mario Bailey, former University of Washington superstar. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm not looking for a comer. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And now it's time to get to big-time guest number two as we welcome in former University of Washington great wide receiver Mario Bailey. Mario, thanks for joining us here tonight.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, Mario, thanks for coming on to the show, man. I was thinking about this for the past week, so excited about having you on the show. I'm thinking back to, man, 1988, 89, 90, 91, those times when the University of Washington was getting themselves on the map, if you will. I mean, we're talking about a national title in 1991. You know, brings back some fond memories. I know that, you know, you probably relive these things every so often, but I'm glad to have you on the show, man.
No, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be on, and it's always good to talk about the good old days.
Yes, and so, of course, you're coming out of Franklin High School in Seattle. Of course, there are a lot of great Quakers that came out of Franklin. Of course, you were one of them that paved the way. And for those of the listeners that are unfamiliar, Mario plays with the – you know, don't let his height fool you. So, boy, about 5'9", but you played tall, brother. I have to tell you, I was very excited about watching you play receiver back in the day.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I watch Nate Robinson all the time talk about it's not the size, it's the size of the heart. So that's all that matters.
And so, yeah, in 1990, let's go back to 1990, 91. There is a huge breakout year for you, and I know that this was around the time where it was very cool in Canada. I believe that you're one of the pioneers to actually pave the way for how can I say it? Just the advertising for the Heisman, if you will. So there was Desmond Howard that was doing his thing in Michigan, and of course you come in on the scene and you showed that the Pacific Northwest had some great athletes as well. So you're running back, punt returns, kickoffs, and making touchdowns. And you gave the Heisman pose in the end zone. I believe the first time you did it was at home at UW. Tell us about that feeling of being a Heisman candidate.
Well, I never really was a Heisman candidate, and that was the reason I did the polls. You know, Washington wasn't, as you say, on the map at the time. We were always playing later games, and on the East Coast they would play before us, and people wouldn't see our games. They never gave us the credit we deserved. So when we got to play Desmond that day, it was kind of our coming out party as a whole for Washington, University of Washington, and as me personally, just to let them know that we had athletes over here, we had a great team, and if we had the hype machine behind ESPN and the rest of the world, it could have been a different Heisman winner.
And yeah, so, and again, you paved the way for that, for University of Washington, I feel, to be on the map. At the time, I was at Auburn University, and, you know, Auburn had such a great football team. I believe we were number 3 in the country preseason. And even though I was attending Auburn and playing there, you know, my thing was I was watching what was going on at the University of Washington, and I would always advocate. And I said, man, you guys have no clue. But because of the things that you did to put the University of Washington on that stage, I believe what, Steve Ettman wound up being one of the finalists in the Heisman that year in 91?
Yeah, Steve was, I think he came in 7th. I mean, that's probably the first and only time that a defensive lineman, let alone, you know, our defensive players are rarely in it, but definitely not a defensive lineman to be that close in the race. He did a great job the year before, so his name was out there. But probably, like I said prior, if Washington was on TV a little more, or people were giving the West Coast a little more credit, he might have been higher than he was.
Former Husky wide receiver Mario Bailey joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Mario, what do you take away even to this day from some of the great coaches you had at Washington, of course, led by the Dogfather Don James? You had Jim Lambright on the defense, so many great coaches, and how do you relate that to your life now, and how did they help you back then?
Well, those coaches, I tell people all the time, taught you discipline. Football can correlate. You can use football to correlate to your life and your everyday life all the time. One of the biggest lessons I learned about is just being on time. You know, so if we were late for a meeting, it felt like the end of the world back then. So, you know, I correlate that to my first job. It's like Coach James always said, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're, I won't say the word, but out of luck. So he taught us a lot of self-discipline, and discipline in itself, and it correlates to my everyday life. If I hadn't played for a man such as him, I just have to always remind myself of with Coach James, some of the lessons he taught us, and it goes in my everyday life now.
Mario, what are some of your best memories from that 91? Unfortunate that it was a co-national championship season when you had a UW record 18 touchdowns in a season. What do you take from that year?
Well, my best memories, one, is just knowing the year prior that we should have won the national championship my junior year, actually, and we let it slip against UCLA. But going into the summer, you know, we had a lot of guys that were from California, Hawaii, and different places. But everybody stayed for that summer because we knew we were going to win the national championship. During the season, the best memory I have is going to Nebraska. It was the loudest place I've ever played in football, or professional, little league, or whatever. And after we won the game, they gave us a standing ovation. It's just one of those feelings that we knew if we got past Nebraska, we were going to win. And we thought that they were going to be pretty rowdy, but we never expected a standing ovation as we walked off the field.
Mario, you had 30 touchdowns in your UW career. Nobody's touched that or your 18 in 1991. I'm assuming a part of you wants those to stay number one in the record books?
Well, you know, it's that you're supposed to say the politically correct thing and say no, but of course I don't want those to be broken, you know, and I haven't been as humble as late. As I get older, I've been a little more outspoken about it. I had 18 in that season, but I only played in the fourth quarter twice. And it's not just a Husky record. It's a Pac-10 or Pac-12 record. So I hope to keep it for another 20 years. That would be great.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Mario Bailey, a Washington Husky wide receiver, great. And, man, again, you know, some of the things that you did and you had mentioned not being able to play in the fourth quarter. And I remember some of those games. I mean, you know, and again, the West Coast didn't get enough notoriety as the East Coast did. But there were a lot of games, a lot of sleepers that you had to where the Huskies were up 35-7. There was no need for you to be in the game. So I'm sure that you know, the stats in your record would have been far more or far greater than what they are now.
Yeah, you know, again, I speak on it now. If somebody wants to listen, you know, I'm a little more outspoken about it. But, yeah, we played in the fourth quarter maybe. The starting unit played in the fourth quarter maybe three times, and we didn't play in after halftime like five or six times because Coach James was such a gentleman, and you didn't have to run the score up as you do now to be in the BCS. We didn't have to run the score up, so it would be over at halftime, and we'd be sitting on the bench. That was pretty much for the last two seasons I played. Once we figured out and our defense started doing the things they were doing, we went 22-2 my last 24 games, and most of those were blowouts.
So tell us a little bit, Mario, on what you're doing nowadays. I know that you're probably doing some things in the community. I know that lupus disease is something that you're an advocate against. And so what are some of the things that you're doing in the community?
Well, I have my own foundation. It's my namesake, the Mario D. Bailey Foundation, and it's under the umbrella of Acts of Kindness. We had our first event, which was last Thanksgiving, and we fed the homeless. We ended up feeding like 150 homeless. But we had over 100 volunteers, and that's our first event. I've been just trying to get it off the ground, make sure we're a registered 501. So we're doing that now, and hopefully our next event will be before Thanksgiving, and we're going to offer a scholarship, hopefully to somebody at Franklin High School. It'll be our first partial scholarship to somebody. Also, my brother has lupus, and I met two beautiful young ladies who have a foundation called Sisters Against Lupus. One has lupus and her sister has lupus. So we went from there, and I made a speech, and I've been helping them get theirs off the ground as well.
Mario Bailey joining us, former University of Washington wide receiver, talking about his foundation and what is going on with his fight against lupus. All great things, and Mario, definitely let us know if there's anything we can do here on the radio show and the Double S Express can help you out.
Definitely.
Well,
you guys
just keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening to the show, and I appreciate you guys even having me on. It's a great pleasure.
Mario, I've got a question here for you from a listener, Adam Johnson of Olympia, Washington, a big Husky fan. Would like to know if you're staying in tune with what's going on with UW football and what you think of the new up-tempo offense that is being put in place at UW.
Well, no question. I'm a Husky for life, so I always keep up, and I think we're headed on the right track. You know, just four seasons ago, we hadn't won a game, so I think Coach Sark is doing a great job. I'm looking forward to the first game and the opening of the stadium. I think if we're not the loudest in the country, we got to be in the top three. And the up-tempo offense, I feel good about Keith Price. I didn't think the line did a great job last year. But the running back and Jenkins and our receiving group, that we should be great this year. I'm hoping that we go to an even better bowl game. I'm looking at a 9-3 would be a solid season for us this year.
Have you had a chance to tour the stadium and see some pictures of how gorgeous that new place is going to be there on Montlake?
Oh, yeah, I've seen a few, and I've heard about the few surprises that haven't been unveiled, and it's unbelievable. But, you know, we got to keep up. I hate to even mention their name in an interview, but we got to keep up with what the Ducks are doing over there with their stadium in uniforms and stuff. It's like young adults want to go to a place that has a nice stadium and different things around. So I think we've just caught up, and hopefully we'll get back to dominating them and the rest of the Pac-12 or whatever it's called soon.
Well, I'm sure you'd be very pleased, and I believe that you've seen already what the new helmets look like. I have never seen a gold as I've seen with the University of Washington's new helmets. What do you think of those?
Man, as I stated before, we have to keep up with those guys down the road. Those helmets are another step to getting that done. You know, young kids want to see these uniforms and different shoes and stuff. Those helmets should be tops in the country. I'm excited about the helmets, actually.
So does the coaching staff, does Coach Stark or Sark or any of the coaching staff, do they invite you back, or do you talk with some of the young guys and give them words of encouragement?
Yeah, you know, I see a few young guys. You know, a lot of them don't know me but through films, and, you know, when I played, most of them weren't even born. But Coach Stark invites us back. I actually went on a weekend event he had last month. So I'm in touch. I stay in tune. Wish nothing but the best for the University of Washington. We're just waiting for us to get back to dominance, and I know it's coming soon.
Mario Bailey, University of Washington wide receiver legend. Of course you're in tune with Coach Sark. You're on his website, CoachSark.com, video and your bio.
I seen the video. I was okay with the video. I wasn't too happy with the song choice, but the video is great. I appreciate it. Just to be recognized is always a good feeling.
If you could give a piece of advice to, let's say, the new recruits, the incoming football players that think they know everything, they're coming off of life being great and grand at the high school level, maybe they won a championship, what kind of reality are they in for coming in to Pac-12 football?
Well, I'm actually working on a documentary now, and it's about my life and my journey. And I would say the best piece of advice I could give anybody is to work hard. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is to work hard, because I got to the NFL, say, and I stopped working hard. And I don't think you ever stop working hard. If you get into college and you want it, you should work hard in school. You should work hard on the field. Don't ever stop, because the guys that I used to dominate, they were out working hard while I was out not working hard, and they end up catching me. So hard work catches up to talent anytime. So you're never done. You should always work hard and just believe in everything God. And I know it sounds cliche, but I have to live with the fact that every day I wake up that I didn't work hard, so my career could have turned out a lot different had I worked hard. So you don't want to have those regrets, so you should just work hard.
You know, Mario, I appreciate you being candid and open and saying that, because I know as a young teenager at the time, you dominated at UW. You had them at their peak, winning the co-national championship. And I always wondered, where's Mario? Why is he not playing on Sundays? And you were drafted by the Houston Oilers, and you tore up the NFL Europe. And I always was curious, and I guess you just told us what happened.
Well, yeah, you know, the NFL Europe, I could dominate because that was just strictly off talent, you know. Although there was a lot of great players out of there, like Kurt Warner, Jake Delhomme, Brad Johnson. We had a lot of great players come out of there. But for me, my purpose was I was only going to get it if I worked even harder. I was able to dominate in the NFL Europe on pure talent. I was able to dominate at the UW on pure talent. The reason it didn't excel past that was strictly because I didn't work hard enough. I could blame it on my rookie year. I was in the starting lineup with Warren Moon, and I got hurt. But okay, you got hurt, but get well and work hard, and you'll get to where you need to be. I just kind of drifted and coasted, and that cost me.
Mario Bailey, University of Washington wide receiver legend, joining us, talking about his playing days at the UW, his professional career, and his foundation Man, it's been great catching up with you. And, Mario, we appreciate your time tonight. And like we said, let us know what we can do to help with the foundation and keep us posted. And we'd love to have you on anytime.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Like I said, it's a great privilege, and it's always good to reflect and be able to get the word out to anybody. And it's always go Dogs. I look forward to keep listening to you guys' show.
All right. Thanks again, Mario.
All right. Thank you.
Mario Bailey, kind enough to give us his time here this evening. Former University of Washington great wide receiver, Franklin High School graduate, spending some good time with Mario Bailey talking University of Washington football.
Yeah, you know, it's always good talking UW football, and of course with the new stadium coming up, the new Husky Stadium, the new helmets, everything that Mario was talking about, yeah, you need to have those types of things to keep up with the Oregons. And so I believe that Coach Sarkisian and company are definitely going to do that and make things better. I look forward to seeing the Washington Huskies do some great things this year.
Let's go ahead and get you to one final break here on the Double with the Double S Express. We'll come back, wrap up the show, and keep things rolling. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express as we get set to wrap up show number 11 tonight. And it's been a great show, and we're going to end it with a bang, going out big time tonight after our big time guests. We have our second ever giveaway here on the Double with the Double S Express, and we are giving away two pair of comedy tickets to the new Elbow Room Comedy Lounge in Kennewick, Washington. So if you're in the Eastern Washington Tri-Cities area, get to your phone. And if you can answer this question, you're going to win a pair of comedy tickets for this weekend to see comedian Vince Valenzuela, a former guest here on the Double with the Double S Express. And that question is, and if you were listening earlier and paid attention, Nick Beckman kind of gave away the answer. He didn't even know what I was going to ask, but here we go. Mariners shortstop Brad Miller won the AL Rookie of the Week award. He is the first Mariner to win that award since who? Can you name the past Mariner, the last Mariner before Brad Miller, to win the AL Rookie of the Week award? And if you think you know that answer and you're in the Tri-Cities, Washington, Eastern Washington, Northeastern Oregon, Hermiston area, give us a call, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. One more time, Brad Miller, shortstop for the Seattle Mariners, won the AL Rookie of the Week award. He is the first Mariner to win the award since who, Sean Boyd?
Whew,
now,
man.
Don't give the answer.
Man, this should be a simple one. If you guys are Seattle Mariner fans, yeah, definitely call in. 888-429-5471. And again, if you're in the Tri-Cities area in Washington, This would be a definite or a great date to go and see comedy at its finest. Again, that number is 888-429-5471.
Mr. Boyd, it's been a good show talking television production and public address with Nick Beckman.
Yeah, you know, and again, like I was saying earlier, man, Nick and I could probably talk all day and all night about some of the things that you go through as far as setting the stage and setting the tone to be a good PA announcer. And, you know, of course, that's something that I like to do in my spare time, you know, just being on the microphone and having fun and painting that picture and, you know, having the crowd get excited. You know, there's a difference between Nick and I, though. Nick says he just wants to blend in. Shoot, man, I want to get out there and make an impact. And so, you know, either way, it's, you know, if you're at the venue and you have a great PA announcer, you know, it's going to be a fun time.
And our second big-time guest tonight, former University of Washington wide receiver, Husky legend Mario Bailey.
Yeah, you know, it was great having Mario on and just going back and reminiscing about some of the, you know, the great things, the good old days with the Huskies. And, of course, the Huskies have always been a program that has been, you know, great or decent, of course, under Don James, head coach Don James. And, you know, the Huskies were at the pinnacle, and it was sad to see him step down, of course, because of some of the changes that went on in the NCAA. But, you know, again, it was a great show tonight having Mario Bailey on as well.
You know, it's good to hear that Mario has got his own foundation and trying to help counter lupus and doing good things in the community.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, he said his brother had lupus, and, you know, he stepped up and, you know, has, you know, given to the community. And so those are the things that we like to talk about. And, you know, Mario's just a great guy. You know, of course, he says as the years have gone on, you know, his way of thinking has changed. And, you know, something tells me that, you know, he can probably lace them up, or he believes he can lace them up. And I believe that he can go out there and still run a route or two and catch a touchdown. So we've got a caller calling in. Actually, Sean, from outside of the area. We've got Gil on the line. Hello, Gil.
Yes, hi, fellas. Hi. Listen at the show. Great show tonight. Really enjoyed it. The guests, very professional and everything. I don't live in Kennewick, Sean Raleigh, but you can give my, if I win, answer the question, you can give my tickets to someone else down there. But I think it's Ken Griffey Jr.?
Ding, ding, ding. You have answered the question correctly, Gil. Thank you so much for being knowledgeable and calling the show, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Great listener all the time. You guys are very professional, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We definitely appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
All right. All right. You have a good one. Thanks, Gil.
Have a good night, Gil. Thanks for calling on the Double with the Double S Express. As he did give the right answer, if you heard him, call in right now. Free comedy tickets in the Tri-Cities, Washington area, 888-429-5471. Looking to give free comedy tickets away for this coming weekend.
Man, I tell you, that must be a Pacific Northwest thing as far as, you know, callers calling in, getting the right answer, and giving the tickets away. I mean, that's awesome, Gil. I Man, yeah, so somebody's going to be a recipient of some tickets because of the great fanfare in Seattle.
That's extreme generosity on the part of big-time listener to the show, Gil, the Pacific Northwest, willing to give his win away. Heck, so, yeah. even if you don't know the answer, we've got a pair that Gil wants to give you.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that caps off a great evening, a great show that we've had. Again, Mario Bailey on the show and Nick Beckman, you know, of strong Pacific Northwest ties. You know, we're looking to definitely reach down. Don't worry about it, Northern California. We have not forgot about you. We've got some guests coming up, you know, in the near future here. But, yeah, definitely a great show, Sean.
And, of course, NFL football starting this week. Training camps all over, all 32 teams will be underway by the time the weekend rolls around.
Yeah, you know, this is the time where everybody feels, or every team, all 32 teams feel like, hey, this is our time, our chance to go to the Super Bowl. And so it's a clean slate. So, you know, for all the fans, all the fantasy leaguers and everything, this is a great time to prepare for your drafts. A great time to get a chance to understand and see who the new players are. And, you know, just rally around your team. Of course, me, I'm kind of holding my breath here in Northern California, hoping that the Oakland Raiders can actually give us a decent season this year. Of course, we have to hear a lot from San Francisco 49er fans, which drives me crazy. But, hey, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I know the Seattle Seahawks up there, Sean, are chomping at the bit to do some great things as well.
Since you're near the Bay Area, what are the fans saying of the 49ers and Kaepernick wearing a Dolphins cap? And then also, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, for me, listening to the San Francisco 49er fans, and 49er fans, please feel free to call in if you have any concerns or questions. It seems like they're basically brushing it under the rug. And so they're saying it's no big deal. But for me personally, if there was somebody on the Raiders that was wearing another cap, first of all, the Raiders would have to win. But if one of the Raiders were wearing another team's ball cap, there's no way in the world that would get by. You know, so for me, I'm thinking that if you have a loyalty, show the loyalty to your team. And, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of other caps to wear. And I know it's not a big deal, not that big of a deal, because, hey, you know, it's just, you know, another team. But when you're showing loyalty, and, of course, Jim Harbaugh is saying that, hey, he has no problem with, you know, Kaepernick doing that. I think that deep down inside that, you know, he's probably wishing and probably told Colin, hey, tone it down, buddy. You know, we don't want any of this negativity being brought into the locker room. We have a championship or a Super Bowl to win.
If you work or run, let's say you run, because Kaepernick runs the offense. He's the poster child for the 49ers right now. If you run a McDonald's, is it okay for you to wear a Burger King hat?
Yeah, and since you put it that way, I mean, the answer is emphatically no. And so, you know, it's an interesting offseason thus far, you know, especially with the Seattle Seahawks beefing up their team and then the San Francisco 49ers trying to stand pat. And, of course, speaking of the 49ers, the Eric Wright deal, we were talking about Eric Wright coming to the 49ers. Apparently, that trade has failed because Eric Wright failed his exam. And so, you know, his physical exam didn't go through. And so now the 49ers said, hey, well, the 49ers can't take him, so he goes back to the Buccaneers, which is a huge blow, in, you know, considering that the 49ers were looking to beef up their DB situation.
Well, I guess I can't rag on the Niners too much for that move now that it appears it's not going to happen, because on the one hand, two, 3 weeks ago, you have Harbaugh coming out and talking about you have to follow the rules and play clean and not get in trouble, and then here they are trading for Eric Wright, who has a checkered past.
Yeah, you know, and you know, when you have a team that's breathing down your neck like the Seattle Seahawks, these types of things happen. You know, you kind of, you know, look the other way or bend the rules just a little bit, you know, in hopes that you can keep a level playing field or a level eye with your team. I think that Jim Harbaugh is a little nervous. I know that the sentiment from the media down here in Northern California, and I don't know if this is just, you know, again, being chivalric, but they are giving this to the Seattle Seahawks. They're saying that, hey, they believe that the Seahawks are going to win the West. They believe that the Seahawks are the best team in the NFL. And it's uncharacteristic to hear that type of talk from media. Now, I know the fans don't believe that. I know that the 49er fans are saying there's no way in the world that we're going to lose to the Seahawks. Both teams, of course, splitting last year with Seattle basically walking all over San Francisco in the second game. But as I was explaining to you earlier before we got on the air, winning that first game, and of course the Seahawks and the 49ers play in week 2, it is pivotal that game whichever team wins that game will wind up winning the West.
And we had Paul Gackel on Twitter at Gackel Report. He was a big-time guest, writer for the San Francisco 49ers and the San Francisco Examiner. And he even said, if I had to choose, I think the division is going the way of the Seahawks.
Yeah, and I just think that that's, you know, down here in Northern California, 49er fans are a little nervous. And they're nervous for just reason. They're, you know, they're seeing their quarterback in the limelight a little bit too much, a little bit more than what they want. They're also seeing a little bit of dissension. Of course, you had Ahmad Brooks, one of the linebackers for the 49ers, got into some trouble with his teammate hitting him over the head with a beer bottle. Those types of things are you do not want to go into your training camp with. You know, as far as the negativity is concerned, you want to make sure that everything is solid and that everybody's on the same page. I believe eventually the 49ers will get there. You know, as I had mentioned to you earlier, as far as between Seattle and San Francisco, we're believing that neither team's going to have any injuries, and I hope that that's the case. But if there's a team that actually has an injury or two, that could make for a long season. And if you're looking at the quarterback position, you're looking at Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick. If one of those guys goes down or gets nicked or dinged, who do you have coming off the bench? That's the huge question. And so lots of teams go through that. And so it's going to be important to see what type of resilience the 49ers have or the Seahawks have to, you know, prove that they're the best teams in the NFL.
Week 2 in Seattle, September 15th. It is on NFL style. The San Francisco 49ers look to invade the Seattle Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. You don't think the NFL is taking notice of the new hottest rivalry in the NFL? They have thrown that on Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Yeah, and so that's for everybody to see. And so, you know, when you have Sunday Night Football, there's no other team that's playing. And, you know, I know where I'm going to be. I'm definitely going to be watching that game.
And I will be there in person one way or another. What a great show we've had for you tonight. Show number 11 on the double with the Double S Express. Big time guest. Thank you goes out to Nick Beckman, public address announcer in the Pacific Northwest and University of Washington. Great wide receiver Mario Bailey on the show.
Awesome show. And look forward to doing this again next week, man.
All right, that is Sean Boyd down in Sacramento, California. I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.